Welcome to Young Everyday Black Woman, the podcast. It's me, Courtney Hancock, your host and partner in all things real and relatable. Join me on this ride where we're diving deep into what it's like being a young, everyday black woman in today's world. I'm a grad student, knee-deep in media, communications, and all things radio. But here, it's not just about stories. It's about us connecting, vibing, and realizing that no matter what life tosses our way, we're in this together. This podcast, it's our hangout spot where I spill the tea about my life, and I hope it resonates with yours. Think of it as our own personal group chat filled with voice messages where we'll laugh, maybe shed a tear, and definitely bond over this roller coaster called life. Join me on this podcast journey where we peel back the layers of what it's like to be a young, everyday black woman today. What's up, you guys? You are listening to Young Everyday Black Woman, the podcast. It's your girl, Courtney, and let's get into it. I mean, today, I really just want to focus on how America has a problem. More likely, it has problems, and we need to talk about it. I mean, for all of my young girlies who are listening, my college girls, my mid-20s girls, all that good stuff, this is our time to shine. When it comes to all the stuff that's going on in the world right now, for one, we all need to be out here voting. It is that time, it is that season, and voting is important, and I stand on that and 100% believe that. And at the end of the day, you can't be a part of the conversation and not voting. You get what I'm saying? Like, you can't talk about the littlest things. I mean, like, not that they're little issues, but these are big issues. But, you know, the things we're talking about on social media, like Biden with the student loan and all of this stuff, we're talking about abortion rights. I feel like these are more like free-flowing conversations now. And you cannot be a part of those conversations, to me, in my opinion, and have your own thoughts and opinions about it vocally out there and debating about it, and not getting out here and being part of the numbers and voting. And I'm not just talking about your presidential elections. You need to be specific on who you're voting for mayor, for your governors, for your council people, all of that. You know, who you're voting for Senate. Those are the people that's really making the noise out here. And it's so important that we encourage our peers to vote as well. It's really important. You know, I can think about that first time voting, which was during COVID, but it was still a moment. It was still a great part of my own thing. You know, just being able to vote and to vote for Biden was just a good thing, you know, and everybody deserves to have that feeling. I encourage it. You know, I have people I've met who's like, I've never, like, as young people, never went with their parents to vote. And I think that is ridiculous. I'm like, what? And my parents weren't like really like, you know, political people. They're not big in the conversation or anything, but it was always like, you're going to go vote. You're going to go vote for your governor. You're going to definitely get out there for the presidential election. I mean, I can remember, you know, going to vote with my parents being younger, my mom, especially like waiting outside, waiting to go into the polling places, you know, like outside at night in the cold. It was just a thing, you know, going and making those votes, you know, going with her, you know, to vote for Obama the first time and all of those things. It's just moments. And those are experiences being able to share with, you know, my kids and my kids' kids over the years. But anyways, voting is important, and we really, really need to do that. We need to focus in and dive deep in these things. And a lot of us, we're part of organizations, being a woman of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated. You know, we stand on business with these things, and we need to, you know, continue to encourage everybody around us to do the same. And I feel like it's a big thing is finding ways to connect with people who don't feel the need to vote. And I feel like those two issues I just named are actually kind of like ways to entice those people. Student loan debt is a big thing. I am in a good amount of student loan debt and about to get in some more with, you know, grad school. And I feel like with that, it's such a thing, because it's like, I was not the top of the line student. I never have been that girl. You know, I am a true procrastinator. I am just, you know, doing what I can to get by, but I have impeccable work when it comes to, you know, the major core things. But sometimes I mess up so deep and the go so bad in the beginning that when it gets to the end, it's like, girl, you done jacked it up for yourself. So I never been that student. High school, college, like undergrad, I'm gonna keep it high, you know, but I do enough and finesse my way, but still have impeccable work. I'm just a procrastinator. And that's what really messes me up. But anyways, so I've never been that, you know, 4.0 student, you know, with whatever. So it's like, just because I don't have that 4.0 and can be eligible for all of these scholarships, do I not go to college? You know what I'm saying? Like, is that what I do? No. Also, being a first generation college student, you don't really, like, everything is new. It's like you're not even thinking about later on when you're gonna have these student loans. You're not thinking about it. And then on your FAFSA thing, when it comes up and it's like, you know, to defer for however many months, those months come up real quick. I think it's 6 months, but they come up real quick. I mean, it's good to have that 6 months, in my opinion, because it gives you time to prepare, especially if you're not, like, you know, in that financial situation, you don't have other people to help you in that financial situation. You need those 6 months to prepare yourself and to get in the groove of, like, okay, I know I'm going to need this. It gave me time to pay off my interest. COVID really helped with that, with payments not having interest. And really, these are, because mine are deferred personally, the ones that I have in my name, because I'm in grad school. So that'll all be looped in together. And then I'll start paying 6 months after I get out of grad school. But right now, like, I'm paying on the ones that's in my mom's name, because I'm like, she might have taken it out, but I'm not going to have her paying, you know what I'm saying, for me, and she didn't get the degree. Like, so I pay that. And it's not cheap. It's cheaper, you know, with all these, you know, things you can do to get your lowest payment. It's cheaper, but it's not, it's still a lot. In a sense. So it's just like all these things you, like, don't think about. But again, do I choose to not go to school, or do I choose to go to school and fulfill my dreams, my passions, and, you know, have that experience? And I think a lot of the times also, like, I know, like, when I was in school, and I'm sure these conversations are had now, like, how can I even afford it? Like, how is this gonna work out? Like, people are just, like, literally, it bugs me when I hear people like, I can't afford to send my kid to school. No, you may get some more money from the government because you feel like you're not in a financial situation if you're really, really down bad. Like, my mom, I feel, is like, she's, you know, doing what she doing. You know what I'm saying? Like, she's not, like, you know, high class. She's middle, you know what I'm saying? Like, ish. So it's like, also a single parent, you know, she doesn't have any college degrees or anything like that. So it's like, I think also the expectation was like, you're going to get more money from the government, but no, they're looking for, like, the people who are even more below that line, like very, very, like, very low income, I'll say. Like, people think they're low income. Like, it's like, no, they're looking for very low income. So I'm saying, those parents and those kids who feel like, I can't afford to go to college. No, you probably can if you fit in that very low income range. I like to call it very low income. And I feel like those are the important conversations to have with students, is like, all these resources and how this could work and da 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 da. You know, the biggest thing I feel like people can't afford to college is everything that you need to literally physically pick up your life and move it to somewhere else. Live in a dorm, have all of these things, figure out how to financially fit yourself. Literally had a girl who was going to my college here from Baltimore, and was in that situation, whereas I believe she got a full ride to school or something like that, but literally could not afford to go to school. Like, literally mom was in a situation where she could not get her to school, all those types of things, you know, in between to get her there, could not afford to, you know, get the essentials like the microwave, the refrigerator, the, you know, toiletries, the furniture, like not the furniture, but the, you know, comforters and the decorate, like all those things a young girl should have for college. And I feel like those are the things that we don't talk about that people can't afford. And there needs to be like stipends out there for those types of things. Like people need to create resources for those things, because it's like, it's not the money you're thinking about kicking out initially for tuition, unless you got it like that. It's really like all these essentials that you need to live. And, you know, I feel like schools do good. Like our school had like the pantry, but you need the kickstart to get you started. And that's like really, really important. But all in all, what I was getting around to was that, you know, the election is important, because these conversations, you know, student loans and all this type of stuff, school should not be this expensive. And my school is not that expensive in a way. Our out-of-state tuition was $1,500. Our in-state tuition was $500. That's just the tuition cost, though, not including everything else. But I feel like at some point, although the tuition was down, a lot of other things hiked up a bit, and they will tell you that it didn't. I don't know. But the tuition from, that was my first year. We didn't have this. It was called the NC Student Plan or the NC Promise Plan. We didn't have that. So I do see a difference between like that first year and those years after. A huge difference. And if that first year would have been NC Promise, I would be in quite a bit less debt than I am now. So it's also good to look at those types of schools. Like sometimes you have to be realistic with yourself, and you have to focus in. You know, that's why I feel like tuition and those types of conversations are important when we're in this age of like, people are graduating college. We cannot afford to pay these student loans to set in a third. So us people who have been through this, we need to start talking to these kids and talking to their parents who don't know, who haven't been through this yet, to get them a better understanding. Like, hey, there are schools out here that have these NC Promise plans. And I think Maryland has schools like this, whatever, whatever. And I'm sure a good amount of other states do, where the tuition is cheap. Now, we want you to get those degrees. We want you to do these big things, but also let's find the schools that are going to financially fit that and then look at that. Like, I remember I was an AVID, Advancement Via Individual Determination. One of the best programs I had ever been a part of was in middle through high school. And one of the big things, we had like our reach schools, our, you know, obtainable schools, and then those schools that were kind of like down there, like, and those things are important, because it's different reasons you put those schools in those categories. Financial reasons, the schools that have the better program that you want to get, like all those different things. And it's important. So all in all, outside of the election and all those types of things, college is important. And these are the conversations we need to be having with our young people. And at some point in my life, I got very realistic. Like, I really wasn't in tune with HBCUs until high school. A little bit of middle school, like, but high school is when I start seeing like my teachers repping their HBCUs like no other. I had a better understanding of college, having AVID in middle school, going into high school. You know, I was like, okay, HBCUs, got you. Like, this is, you know, and like I said, I'm coming from, you know, being a first generation college student, I really wasn't even like in tune with college. Like, it wasn't like, of course I was very in tune with like, okay, college basketball, like this, that, and the third, but like really the whole thought of like, oh, this whole big thing, really didn't like grasp it. You know, like, I don't know, working in a school now, that conversation is different. And that's why I say like, I was way out of touch. But yeah. All in all with that, representation matters. And that's another part of the conversation I want to have when I say America has a problem. This whole HBCU PWI thing, it just hits so different for me, because I'm just a HBCU girly to the core. Although I'm not getting my graduate degree at HBCU, I wish I would have, but I really needed an online program and something that could, you know, like give me this little, this different experience that I didn't get in undergrad. But anyways, but I'm an HBCU girly to the core, and I believe in HBCUs. I stick beside HBCUs in all aspects, on all levels, despite whatever. Literally went through so many different things at my HBCU, from housing issues to academic things with advising, like all different types of stuff. But I will still 100% stand behind HBCUs because I want to be where I was always wanted and where I will continue to be wanted. And that's a big conversation to me. And I feel like when we're talking to our young people, this is also a part of the conversation we need to talk about. Working at a Catholic school, you know, there is no Black teacher except for my man, who is the PE teacher. So I, in a way, like, period on that. But I, in a way, feel as though, you know, it is a disservice to be a teacher and to teach Black children and to not understand the culture, to not understand them. I feel like it's hard to teach people that you don't understand. To me, I'm not a teacher, but being a teacher to me is being more than just an educator, as in like science, social studies, whatever, the basics. You are who these kids spend most of their day with. You know, like, you're seeing the way they build relationships and the way that they have evolved. You can tell a parent a lot about their kid that they don't even know. So you need to be in tune with who they are. And it's so often. And I wonder, before I was at this school particularly, what was the conversation like where this happens and that happens and they don't understand this part of things and that part of things? Like, it needs to be a course. Like, DEI needs to be in Catholic schools because they don't know. And for some things, it's like, you can't blame people for not knowing, but anytime I don't know something, I'm out here trying to figure it out. I'm studying it. I'm getting deep down into it. The same way that I came there and not being Catholic and not understanding any of this stuff, within a year, I've gotten it down pack a bit. You know, so I feel like you have to understand your students. And so when it comes down to the colleges, I'll say I am over like their Black Student Union, which is an amazing thing. They get on my 100% nerves. But to see the beauty when they did these HBCU projects. So I had them, like, you know, study HBCU. We talked about HBCU. So it was one of the first conversations we had with Black Student Union. They didn't handpick their HBCUs. I picked their HBCUs for them. We went from that and they created trifold boards. And then we went from that and we had a HBCU college fair at the school, and the middle school students came. Some of the teachers, administration came and whatever. It was nice. The beauty of it is the fact that they actually, like, really did their research. They really were able to sit there and talk about it. You know, like, that's what you will think about. And those are the things that they're going to have conversations about because that's what they know. But if I got to know all of y'all schools, then y'all got to reel it in because y'all teaching little Black babies and they need to be aware of these things. And I feel And like I say, this is just my personal opinion. I'm not a teacher, you know, but there are other conversations that happen in the classroom. There's other things that go on. So we definitely have to instill so much in to the kids at younger age, in my opinion. And having the conversation with someone else, it's like, well, that is what home is for. And I don't know why. I just don't believe that, if that makes sense. I get that a teacher cannot do it all, but, and I'll say, I'm from a public school down. You know what I'm saying? And I went to predominantly Black public schools, with a lot of kids who were on that line of, like, not going to college, had no idea what was next, like, all these different things. Very, I'll say, problematic when it came down to behavioral issues types of schools. So the conversations in general were different there because they knew. I feel like those teachers, it wasn't about strictness or rules or following this code and doing this and I'm going to punish you and this, that, and the third. A lot of it was about, let me see how I can relate to you to help you become a better person. And on that way, I think all of my teachers, everyone in that building was very impactful. And if it wasn't on me, I saw them be impactful in other people's lives. And for me, that's inspiring. Working at a school, my thought process is, if I'm not impacting you on some level, helping you think outside the box, helping you accept others, exposing you to something that you are not aware of, I'm not doing a good job. Because to me, you have to be more than just teaching whatever you teach in. You know, like, those are the teachers to me that get the awards, the teachers who get the respect, the teachers who kids want to come back and see, the teachers who later on in life you never forget. It's been some years since I've been in high school, but so many of those teachers and administration and staff members within that building, I remember and have good relationships with, and to this day can still call on them for a favor or whatever, because they were just that impactful on my life and they knew it, because that's what they strive to do every day. They weren't basic. You know, like, I feel like good public school teachers, you can't be basic. You have to go above and beyond. Because if you are a teacher and you are not seeing your kids thrive now, 5, 10 years later, you feel like you've done a disservice. I feel like it just feels good when you know that you've impacted somebody's life, when you know that something you said, something you did, something you taught changed them or made them feel a way. And every day when I went to high school, I felt that. Some experience, some encounter, some something changed my life. And mind you, not only was it predominantly black school, I predominantly black teachers, but the ones who weren't got it. You know what I'm saying? They weren't like culturally illiterate. They knew the work that they needed to put in to work and teach brown children. And that's all I'm saying. And I respected that for them. And the ones who didn't, we all knew and felt the vibes on. But everybody else got it. They understood the assignment. You get what I'm saying? Yeah. So, I just feel as though, once again, exposing kids to HBCUs, it's hard. Because working now at a private school, a Catholic school at that, they don't want to go to, and this is elementary, middle, so I'll speak on like middle. They and their parents want them to go to private schools for high school. And some of it's academic. A lot of it, I'm understanding, is athletics. And that makes me question what their future looks like for college. Although we did these HBCU programs, how many of them is that actually an option for? How many of them does that look realistic for? And that's scary, because to me, does that, because at certain points recently, we've seen a tad bit of decline in HBCU. So just looking at the small demographic of kids, because of athletics and because of, I don't know what the other one could be on a high, on a college level, of them not attending HBCUs. And I feel like social media is playing a role too. But HBCUs are the future. And my standpoint that I have taken, and y'all can fight me for it, if all black athletes stop going to these PWIs and start going to HBCUs, they're gonna come find you. Because what with athletics, a lot of, let's stick to the main two that they cannot do without us, just about basketball and football. What would they do without us? What would the NBA be without LeBron James? Okay. What would football be right now without the quarterbacks, Patrick Mahomes, Jalen Hurts, Lamar Jackson? What would that look like? And although everybody might not be about black folks, but when it comes down to sports, you barely cannot do this without us. We are an athletic species. Not myself, but Y'all know what I mean. So they're going to come to HBCUs and find you. If they're finding out all of the athletes, they don't care anymore. They're going to HBCUs. And to me, I want these kids who are thinking about going to PWI for athletics to talk to an athlete at a HBCU and have a conversation with them, because the conversation is different. I'm not making this stuff up. The conversation is literally different. There is a good handful of them who do say, hey, I gotta be here because PWI, it wasn't working. You know what I'm saying? But at the same token, they are working 10 times harder because they know, and in their mind, they are that good. They are just as good as the guys at the PWIs. In their hearts and in their minds, in their guts, they still feel like they're that good. And that they chose their HBCU because that's what they wanted to do. They know that they have a choice in life. They know what HBCUs mean to your literal life. And they understand that just because you don't go to a PWI doesn't mean that you don't have the chance at being great. And that's the thing. I feel like people feel as though in order to be easily seen, to be easily recruited, to be easily this, that, and the third, you have to go to a PWI. But I'm telling you, if all black men, especially, and I'll speak on the black men, stop it and find them a good HBCU to go to, these, listen, the NFL, whatever, the way that social media works to put people out there, it's possible. So I'm just saying that's just my thoughts. And I say America has a problem when it comes down to that, because it's a mental thing. At this point, who is writing the rules? They don't want to go to HBCUs to find you, because the world has told them from the before they understood HBCU and thought this and that, you had to go to these white institutions. But why does it have to be just white institutions? Why can't it be HBCUs that they come in and look at you too? You know what I'm saying? Like, am I tripping? Or is that still some type of prejudice or some type of something, right? Because it should be all colleges on all one level. Because if they taking little Johnny from the little PWI up the street, then I know they can go to the HBCUs where we put some big ballers out there who's really doing their thing, respectfully, who made a decision for themselves about how they want to go on about their life. Let's get into it. Okay? I'm just saying. It's really the white man still ruling the world. Think for yourselves. And I feel as though when you go to an HBCU, sometimes you do have to work 10 times harder. But when you go to an HBCU that's like a family, and an HBCU that feels right, they working 10 times harder with you. They're bringing the opportunities to you. They're making sure that you have the same experience that a person at a PWI has. Hey, at my school, we're doing so well. We're doing it so good. It's diverse. What is it? Bluefield State or whatever the school is. My school played them in football. I had no idea the school was predominantly white. I mean, like, you can see, but like, I never like Googled the school to look it up, check it out. I'm just realizing that here in 2024, one of my kids for Black Student Union did the school. And I looked it up because I went and reached out to all the schools to send me like their materials. And it says it's a HBCU, and it also says, but it's predominantly white now. So I'm telling you that HBCUs, we are doing something so good that other people want to come and experience it. And I also want people to stop thinking it's about the partying, it's about this. You'll experience things at an HBCU that you will never get to experience again in life. It changes your mindset, your dynamic, the way that you move, the way that you think, the way that you do your thing. You know, like it's just a vibe. And it's more than just a vibe, as in, like, I don't know. The way I see it, and I'm sure I said it before, you have years. Hopefully a good 50, 60 years. And a good straight 40 plus, maybe 50, again 60, because the world is crazy these days of working, where you'll have to deal with being the only Black person, the only Black woman, the only Black guy, the only this, the only Black this in the room, at this, that, and the third. Take Hollis to just be. And I don't have it all figured out. Please know that. My confidence is up and down all the time. But my belief system and how I feel as though I believe in myself and my passion comes from, take it back to high school, to those HBCU grads, taking it back to my HBCU and how that made me feel. I had opportunities I would not have gotten at a PWI or at a bigger HBCU, to say the least. My time in life there just hit different. And I wouldn't trade it for the freaking world. Nothing. Presented with HBCUs that have much better media, broadcast, journalism, communications, whatever type of programs, I still chose the one that felt like home. And I said, I will work harder, which evidently I have. Nothing has been easy. I will take every opportunity that comes my way. I will apply to this and to that and to this and to that and see what happens when it comes down to internships and opportunities over that course of my life. And some good things have happened. I have been blessed immensely. But my HBCU has taught me to work extremely hard, to persevere, to never give up. To stick to your goals, to stick to your passion, and let nobody really tell you no. You know what I mean? Like, trust me, I deal with it at work. Holding back, biting my tongue, expressing myself later when I get home and not saying anything. But in my heart of hearts, I know my worth. And I know how I feel. And I know my people. And I know my culture. And I know what's right. And I know what's wrong. And I know how people make you feel. And yeah, just shout out to all the HBCUs. Y'all are doing amazing work creating and molding amazing people who have a better understanding of life. And because we know that we want to be better understood, I feel like we as a Black people and as HBCU grads specifically do a better job at understanding others, because we live in a world of wanting to be accepted. So why not we try to accept everybody else? I'm one of the most culturally understanding people, trying to understand different cultures and who they are and why they are. And that's all because after elementary school, when I went to middle school, I was with a lot of Middle Eastern people and Hispanics. Then when I went to high school, I was with a lot of like African people. So it helps you understand different cultures instead of sticking in one neighborhood with one type of people and you don't understand them and this, that, and the third. You don't want to try to understand them. I just don't see life that way. I see everyone should be understood. And, you know, as Dr. King said, we shouldn't be judged by the color of our skin, but by the content of our characters. And that should hit deep for a lot of people. And if more of us were seen that way, the world would be such a better place. Because we would be able to have people to freely go to whatever school they want to and not feel as though they will be not accepted in the world of athletics or in whatever world they're worried about. And we would just have a better people. And that conversation just went all over the place because we really started talking about the election. But America 100% has a problem, and that one right there is big to me. It's big. I think about it so much, and then I think about what can I do to help the situation, and I have thought of one thing. And I have one of my mentors from high school, to bring it back to him. He is a part of this project thing where every spring break in Baltimore County Schools, every spring break, they take a group of students on an East Coast tour of HBCUs. Students from marginalized communities and like others, or people like me, first generation college students who just don't know. Or it was on the news and it was a young man who was from Nigeria and he just didn't understand it, period. And showing them what HBCUs are about, showing them what they bring to the table, what that looks like, what that feels like, what it feels like to walk across an HBCU yard. Whew, it's unmatched. And I want to do something like that. You know what I mean? Like, I want to be a part of something like that, do something like that on my own, to expose kids to everything. You know, like, I look at it differently, I feel as though, because I wasn't exposed to things like that at a young age. So I want to make things easier for the next generation of kids, or the next generation of little Courtneys, who are in that same boat. Let's bring the opportunities to you to better understand what your future can look like in all aspects. You know what I mean? And speaking of little Courtneys, like, even when I have kids and that type of thing, they gonna be on that ECSU, Elizabeth City State University campus on a regular. Not every homecoming, but some homecomings, okay, yep, you're going, because you're gonna see what this is like. You don't have to choose my HBCU, but it's 100 and some to choose from. And you can find one that fits you. And it's not that they have to, but I want them to understand it and to see it and to feel it. And I love that. Like, being at my school and you would see people bring their kids, or, you know, staff members, you know, have their kids there. Sometimes, especially for the older ones, it's like, okay, really? Or everybody who mama and daddy worked at the school is like, oh, really? But when you think back on it, it just shows what HBCUs do in that feeling, that they're doing something so right that so many people want to stay there and be a part of it on the next level as being an employee. That's amazing. And I think I said this on my last episode, or maybe not, going to work and seeing those people, they don't go back and support their colleges. Like, not like I do. Like, HBCU homecomings are a thing. So, you know, we going for that. But, you know, this Miss Alumni thing I did and all those types of things. Like, I just feel like I'm in a different type of mode with mine. And I'm never going to not lock in with my school like that. I monthly making a donation. I said that's my goal for 2024 to something. You get what I'm saying? Like, once a Viking, always a Viking. The goal is to make it better for the next group of people. The goal is to never stop loving it. It's never, ever, never, ever, ever. So I'm just saying, America has a 100% problem. And a big thing to me is America just got a problem with black people doing things that are going to benefit and impact them. And to think twice now about the college thing, they know if they start letting black folks, in a sense, go to HBCUs and be athletes and, you know, go on and be in the NBA and the NFL, they're going to lose money at their PWIs. They're about to lose a big chunk of that. Because once the athletes leave, other people are going to start opening up their mind and saying, you know what? Why am I here at a place that originally didn't want me? Yes, times have changed. Things have evolved. But I try my hardest, and I mean my 100% hardest, to not go to places where I am not wanted. I try. And in the professional world, sometimes you don't have as much as control of that. So how about in the academic world, in this young time of your life where you should be having a good time, wilding out, whatever, to make that choice for yourself, to be where you are wanted, to be where it's all different types of black folks. You're going to find your people. It's going to be okay. If you think you a quirky black person or you ain't black enough or whatever, it's room for you there. Trust me. It's all types of black people at HBCUs. It's not all like whatever white people may imagine it to be or whatever people think it is, or own black folks who don't believe in HBCUs would think it is. The academics are the same. They're still rigorous. They're still challenging. Just as any other school you will go to. And honestly, to speak outside of college, my predominantly black middle and high school education, I feel like it's better than what I'm seeing. In a sense of, we were able to go on field trips. We were able to have a lot of different things. And my teachers were, like I said, being black, my teachers were able to educate me. Like I said, I go back to Mr. Jackson. I can't remember what class I had him for my senior year. But whatever the class was, he tweaked it so that everything was about African-American history. Everything we learned about Exodus and all of that stuff, it was all African-American history. And you get what I'm saying? Like that, it was a beautiful thing. Media, a lot of stuff was about black folks in the industry. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. I wouldn't trade any of my experiences. I wouldn't trade public school. I went to, if y'all from Baltimore, I went to Randallstown, which for a county school is one of the ones at the bottom. But I loved it. And I loved every minute of it, even when they was in the hallway fighting. And what I'm saying to you is, for the young folks who know younger folks, is you are not a product of your environment. You are an independent person who makes their own life decisions. What is going on around you does not have to impact you in that way. People is different, but literally things that are going on around you that have nothing to do with you, because people, like, why I see people are trans, like outside of athletics, the real conversations I hear about what's going on and people are leaving public schools to come to these private schools is because of behavioral issues. Challenge your kid. Keep them in that environment, because some of them is your kid with the behavioral issues. Keep them there. See how they can change. Don't put them somewhere else to come and mess with somebody else's environment, right? But on top of that, if it's not your kid with the behavioral issues, it don't have nothing to do with your kid. They probably see worse at home or wherever. It's not that deep. Dealing with challenging things helps in life. It's a life skill, because then you can say, oh, I can fit in anywhere. I can make it work anywhere. But if you put them in a box, you know what I'm saying? It just don't work. So I'm saying you are not a product of your environment. Like from low income people, living marginalized, all this type of stuff. You know what? They are not products of their community. They do not have to be. But when you do not hear that, when you don't have the people preaching to you about it and instilling this in you, you could become a product of your environment. But literally, you do not have to be. You are your own person who can make their own decisions, their own choices. You do not have to be sticking to the status quo of whatever. Same thing with HBCU students. I think people be thinking that it's party, schools, good time, good time. Yeah, we do have a good time because that's how we like to celebrate as a culture. But we do know how to get down to business. And if you do go to an extreme jumping party school, you are not a product of your environment. You don't have to be out every night having a good time. That is a choice, right? You don't have to be drinking tonight. That is a choice. You don't have to be in somebody else's bed tonight. That is a choice. All of these things you have in life are a choice. You deciding to be a product of your environment is your choice. It's a mental thing. You don't have to be like that. So, again, America has a problem. Thank you guys so much for tuning into this episode of Young Everyday Black Woman, the podcast. I hope y'all understand. I hope this helps somebody, changes somebody, shifts the mindset, opens a conversation. But yes, thank you for listening again to this episode of Young Everyday Black Woman, the podcast.